Father, we do indeed worship your holy name. Every time we reflect on your goodness, our instincts are simply to worship. And I pray now that you would renew our sense of amazement at your grace and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Welcome, St. Mary's. It's great to see you. And I do apologize for the heat. When this building was built in the early 18th century, air conditioning was not as advanced as it is now, and the idea was simply we opened the doors, but of course the doors only make it worse on a day like this. But it is great to see you, and thank you for coming, and thank you, Chris and the band. Well, Chris and Chris and Tom, actually. I suppose it's plural, for leading us in worship. And now James, our church warden, is going to come and speak. It's great to have you.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're continuing with our series, Why Take Jesus Seriously? And we're looking at Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew 8 on page 920, if you want to read along. Matthew 8, beginning at verse 14. Did I say 920 or 928? 920. Perfect, it's even up there. Matthew writes, "When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Another disciple said to him, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' But Jesus told him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" And so, probably quite obviously today, I do want to talk about this whole issue of following Jesus. What does that mean? Partly, what do we think it means? And partly, what do we think it means to Jesus? And are they indeed the same thing? I suspect, and I could have this wrong, but I'd venture that there's a lot of us here today that would say, if pressed, actually following Jesus is not that easy. I suspect that if it were easier, a lot of us wouldn't be spending so much time praying for friends and family that they would come to know Jesus. If it were obvious, if it were simple, why wouldn't everyone be doing it? There are a lot of things in this world that turn our heads, demand our attention, and distract us from following him. And I was reading an article in The Spectator back in May. And let me just share you with you what it said. It said, "A landmark in national life has just been passed. For the first time in recorded history, those declaring themselves to have no religion have exceeded the number of Christians in Britain." And the article goes on to say, "The decline in Christianity is perhaps the biggest single change in Britain over the past century." So there must be an awful lot of reasons why people are finding it difficult to follow Jesus today. But just for a moment, guys, can we look at perhaps what it meant to follow him in the context of our reading? So 2,000 years ago. Now, let me help to set the scene. At the beginning of chapter 8, where we read from today, we are told that Jesus has just come down from the mountainside, okay? And there's a really large crowd that are following him. Now, we've picked up the story where Jesus is coming to Peter's house. We read that Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. And when Jesus saw these huge crowds around him, he said to his disciples, he said, "Guys, get me out of here. Take me across Lake Tiberias. Take me across the Sea of Galilee. I'd like to get out of here." And so we know that he's healed Peter's mother-in-law. We read in verse 16, didn't we, that he drove out spirits and he healed all kinds of people who were ill. And he's surrounded by these huge crowds. So these crowds have been listening to his famous Sermon on the Mount, right, which was just mind-blowing, kind of turned the worldview on its head. They're witnessing these miracles. And you can perhaps understand at that point why he had crowds following him, right? They were following him, literally following him. But some of them, I would suspect, are also following him emotionally, and some of them even following him spiritually. So you can kind of get that. And I don't know if you feel like this, guys, but there have been times in my life when I've sort of said, "God, you know what? My ability to follow you, the strength of my faith would be so much easier if you could just show me one or two miracles." I'm sure none of you have felt that way, but occasionally I confess I have felt that way. But that seems to me that it comes to the whole heart of the matter. Would it really be easier? Would it really be easier? And I think part of the reason why we have to examine that question is, what does it mean to follow Jesus from his perspective, not mine, not ours? Is traipsing around the countryside, waiting for Jesus to put on the next entertainment, really what it means to follow him? In verse 19, we read that a prospective follower says to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus gives that somewhat kind of cryptic response, doesn't he? He says, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He's saying to this guy, "Look, are you really ready to let go of everything? Do you know what you're saying? Do you know what it means to have nothing of your own? Who you are, where you are, and what you do will no longer define you. Your discipleship to me is what must become the most important thing in your life." And you know something, guys? I read that and I said, I am that prospective disciple, because I say, "Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Whatever you want me to do, hey, no problem, I'll do it." And guys, I had the sense that Jesus would turn to me lovingly, but possibly quite sharply, and say, "James, do you even have a clue what you are saying?" And it got me thinking. And guys, forgive me. Is it okay if we're friends? Can I have just a little mini rant right now? Do I have your permission? It's about worship songs. Okay, it's not really about the songs or those who perform them or write them, but it's just that some of them have got me thinking about the truth of where Jesus actually stacks up in my life and my priorities, because I sometimes find myself singing words like, "Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Or I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered, all I am is yours." What a load of tosh. It's rubbish. I sing that and I don't mean it. I'm not trying to beat myself up here to make a point. Sure, I do try to follow the example set by Jesus, but if Jesus were standing beside me as I sung the words, "I live for you alone," he'd be whispering and say, "Do you really?" And guys, in my case, the song I should be singing is, "Lord, I try to give you my heart. I try to give you my soul. I will try to live for you alone." But it isn't easy. And Lord, there are many times that I put other things ahead of you. But guys, you know, Jesus knows that. It doesn't matter what I sing or what I say. He already knows that. And I've probably just ruined worship for everybody here, and that wasn't my point. All I'm really trying to say is, do we think about the words and the promises that we speak to Christ? I have to say that following Jesus brings huge, life transforming benefits. But it isn't easy. Jesus knows that I get caught up with my earthly priorities. He knows that when he says, come on and follow me, I often will say, Jesus, I will, but can you just wait a little while? Work is really, really busy. I got a lot going on with the kids. I'm really into season 4 of whatever box set. You know, I promise you, I'm going to have time in a couple of years. It'll be different. And by the way, you know that kind of funny bit where the prospective disciple says, let me go and bury my father. I've read that that was sort of a common Middle Eastern euphemism for someone saying, essentially, let me wait until I get my inheritance and until I'm financially secure. And then with that security, I can go out and do these things. And that is flipping me. I have so much faith when I have a healthy bank balance. Do you know what I mean? The things I'm prepared to sacrifice for Jesus when I'm financially secure, it's amazing. And Jesus says, you know, James, there is no time to wait because I am calling you to a new life now, right now. And guys, can we understand that the calling to a new life doesn't mean you suddenly engage in a whole lot of religious activities or that you give up your job? Being called into a new life now is actually about where's our orientation of our life? What is the quality of our entire existence? Because Jesus says you can't be my disciple unless you are willing to forsake all. All. Not some, not James, what you think you can occasionally give up, but all. There must be nothing that we hold on to that is more precious and more valuable and more important than Jesus and his kingdom. Guys, we have to see that Jesus must be the most important thing in our lives. So if we're to follow Jesus, if we're to be his disciples, he does quite rightly demand that we put him first. And please, my friends, we do it not out of a sense of guilt or out of a sense of Christian duty and responsibility, but we do it because we recognize that the opportunity to be a disciple of Jesus, to be one of his followers, is the most incredible opportunity that any human will ever be offered. I pray with people about job opportunities, about move on. This is the biggest, best opportunity that anyone will ever be given in their earthly lifetimes. So let's not miss that opportunity now. Grasp that opportunity. And that's the message that we need to take out to other people. Okay? I hope we can worship after this. Bless you.